nice to see you here. We're in Proverbs 29 tonight as we continue on. We're actually nearing the end of this book. We're not that far from being done with it. We're in our 125th study. We're in Proverbs 29 tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 7 to 14 in our journey this evening. And before we begin our journey, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for your wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would use your word to minister to our minds and hearts tonight. We pray that you would make us wise people. We would certainly acknowledge there have been times in our lives where we've walked on the path of a fool. The mark of wisdom is to recognize that and get off that path. I pray that we would do that. Thank you for those here tonight. We pray your blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, amen. I read an interesting story of this lady in Trail Rider magazine. And it was about this lady that bought a horse, and she thought the horse was useless. And she said she decided to take it on a trail ride with a bunch of other people, and they were going into an area where they had to cross a major river. And the place that you cross it was to the left of this area. And she said, my horse was kind of lagging behind. By the time we got to the river crossing, she said, I saw the other horses were on the other side pretty much all together. So she said, I stepped my horse into the river. Well, this horse got on the right side of where it should have gone and ultimately got into some deep water, and she came off. And her horse, of course, just went right on over by the other horses. And she said, I was drowning. And then she said that horse turned around, saw her, turned around and came back in that river and got that woman. And the woman said, I changed my mind about that horse right then and there, that it wasn't the dud I thought it was. And when you go through the book of Proverbs, I think it's a lot like that. You can't always tell by initial appearances who's a wise person and who's a fool. You can't always tell by just initial glimpses who's extremely righteous and spiritual and who isn't. Because sometimes there can be those false impressions. But wisdom or folly will be seen if you watch a person over the long haul. Wisdom or folly will be spotted if you watch a person walking through life on a regular basis. It doesn't mean there aren't moments when they play or a person plays the part of a fool, but generally speaking, when it comes to attitudes and actions and reactions, you'll discover who's wise and who's a fool. And that really is what this section is all about. A wise, righteous person can be determined by his reaction to various situations of life. Now, again, I don't want to keep hitting on this point, but it is worth noting. We are in the section that started in chapter 25 where the wisdom proverbs are copied by the men of Hezekiah. And I remind us of the fact that we had a 200 and 250 year gap of time between Solomon and Hezekiah. And during that 200 and 250 year gap of time in Israel's history, the nation was a mess. And the whole nation was walking in ways that were missing the blessings of God. So when these men of Hezekiah started compiling these Solomonic Proverbs that they start in chapter 25 compiling, they're basically saying, we've got to get back to the basics of applying the wisdom of God to real life so that we can actually be the recipient again of the blessings of God. That's why they went to the trouble of compiling these wisdom principles again and putting them in written form, which shows up in our book of Proverbs. So they're basically saying, we're tired of the nation not getting the blessings of God because we're acting like a bunch of fools. We want to be a nation who gains the blessing of God, so we need to start reacting and acting wisely as it comes to a variety of issues in life. Now, when you go down through this text tonight, there are about 8 different reactions that you'll see here that determine whether or not a person is on a path of wisdom or folly. The first one is, righteous or wickedness will be evidenced by, or wisdom or folly can be determined by one's reaction to the poor. Notice verse 7, the righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such concern. Now, I want you to notice, if you just look down through the context of these verses tonight, that subject of the poor shows up there in verse 13. Shows up again in verse 13. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. And it shows up again in verse 14, if a king judges the poor with truth. Obviously, this was a critical issue in the mind of the wise men of Hezekiah. how we treated the poor, or how Israel treated poor people, was critical to being the recipient of the blessings of God. Now, what's interesting that doesn't show up in English is you have two different nouns that are used for poor. The word poor in verse 7 of chapter 29 and the word poor in verse 14 of chapter 29 is dalim. And that word in Hebrew refers to one who's very feeble, one who's very thin, very weak, very lean, one who is very low, actually could need food. On the other hand, the one that is used in verse 13, the poor man and the oppressor, is a different root, rush in Hebrew. And this particular word speaks of poverty to the point of being very, very hungry. So here's what you have here. You're not talking about people who have a lot of money in the bank and they're pretending they don't have anything. I mean, you have those kinds of people that are out. This is not the case that's being described here. These are really poor people. And what the wise men of Hezekiah were saying is, if we want the blessings of God, we must be concerned about the welfare of all kinds of people, especially those who have needs. In other words, the righteous, wise person would do everything that he could to understand the plight of the poor person, would do his best or her best to try and do what he or she could to try to meet the needs, to help out. On the other hand, you'll notice the antithesis is a wicked, foolish person doesn't try to understand the plight of the poor. In fact, he doesn't care. The wicked does not understand such concern. A wicked person does not care whether or not a poor person has anything to eat at night. He could care less because he's only consumed with himself. Now, you see, these men of Hezekiah are saying we need to be focused with an other-oriented mentality. That's the wise way to live life in a society that will be blessed of God. If we get into a focus just on self and we don't care about whether or not other people have enough or they have something to eat, then we're in serious trouble. And that's the way these wise men were viewing it. So this proverb is stressing that one's relationship to God can literally be in partly determined by how we relate to others, especially when we learn that they have needs. And so if you're the kind of person and you do what you can to try and help, and you sense that somebody has a need and you try to be concerned and compassionate, that's a wise way to walk. That's a way that incurs the blessings of God. And that's exactly what these wise men of Hezekiah were trying to communicate to the nation Israel in this particular proverb. Now, the second reaction is wisdom or folly will be evidenced by one's reaction concerning wrath. Verse 8 says, scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Now, the word scorner is a word that refers to one who mocks what is good and upright. This type of person is one who will set a city aflame. Set a city aflame, it speaks of somebody who's breathing fire, stirring up the flames of something. That's exactly what those words mean. So a scorner, a God mocker, one who's a fool, literally doesn't care if he stirs up trouble or stirs up the flame. This proverb is saying that a scornful person is one who's always stirring up trouble in a society in which he lives. He's always causing problems. Wise people are peacemakers and not troublemakers. Now, there are people who, frankly, they make a habit, and you can just keep your mouth shut and your eyes open and your ears open, and you can just see there are certain people, and they just love to go around and stir up trouble. They just love to go around and stir up the pot. Whether or not it's real or not doesn't matter. Jesse Jackson. Now, what do you think when you think of that name? I think of a guy who pretends to be a reverend, who runs around stirring up the pot any chance he gets. On the other hand, when you think of Dr. Tony Evans, who also is of the same ethnicity as Mr. Jackson, this guy is a guy who's carefully given over to expounding the truth of the Word of God, and he wants people to be set free and brought into a peaceful relationship with the Lord and with one another. Two different philosophies. Now, you stand one up in the world, the fool, and many people will respond to that. Many people will unite with that. But you send the wise man of God up, and very few are willing to follow him. But what you discover is there are people who will stir the pot. And I want you to notice the contrast of the wise person. The wise person is interested, according to verse 8, in turning away anger. He wants to calm things down. He's not interested in stirring up trouble. He'd like things to be peaceful and tranquil. He doesn't want a lot of problems, a lot of hassles. I mean, what society just likes constant turmoil? You have to be a fool if that's what you like in life, constant turmoil and trouble. And that's exactly the point of the men of Hezekiah. Fools stir up trouble. Wise people avoid it. That's true when it comes to relationships. It's true when it comes to organizations. It's true when it comes to nations, individuals, and certainly it's true when it comes to the Lord. Because a foolish person could care less whether or not he's making God angry or not. Whereas a wise person is very concerned about not doing things to anger the Lord. A wise person understands that it's a fearful thing to anger God, and therefore a wise person governs his life in a wise way. So a wise person reacts to angry and hostile situations by trying to diffuse them, whereas the fool is always trying to stir them up in a fiery way. That brings us to the third reaction. Wisdom or folly can be evidenced by one's reaction with a fool. Notice verse 9. When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. Now, wise people will do their best to stay away from arguments with foolish people because wise people realize that if you contend with a fool, you get into a no-win situation. If you're arguing with a person who's not interested in truth, if you're arguing it with a person who's not interested in facts, this is a person who basically is just impious and idiotic, you're never going to win. It doesn't matter what your evidence is. It doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the facts are. You're not going to win. So you're better off to try to just avoid getting in conflict with this kind of individual. Now, what's real interesting about this is that the word controversy is describing something that could be legal. In other words, this could be something that's a legal matter where really you have a perspective of a court issue at case. And Dr. Bruce Waltke, he's the one I had the privilege of I took Proverbs twice when I was in school, and one time it was from him. And Dr. Bruce Waltke said that he felt that if you enter into legal controversy with a fool, he's going to do everything he can to minimize it. Even if you show him the facts and show him the truth, he'll either fly into a rage, which is exactly what the text says, or he'll just start mocking and laughing and trying to get out from his responsibilities because you're dealing with a fool. And a fool is not going to be held accountable or responsible for anything that he does. So the point that Hezekiah's men are making is, if you're dealing with a fool, you've got trouble on your hands. Because it doesn't matter how much evidence you offer, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to shut his mouth. You're not going to win. You're in a no-win situation if you're dealing with someone who is a fool. And a foolish man will not be one who will give in to what's logical and reasonable because he's emotional, he's insensible, and he's irrational. And when you're dealing with somebody that's emotional and sensible and irrational, you're not dealing with someone that is volitional, and therefore you end up with some major problems. Professor Toy, who wrote a good commentary when he taught it at Harvard, said it's not advisable for a wise man to have controversy with a fool because such controversy is going to accomplish nothing. I guess there are times when this would say that there at times there might be an appeal made in a legal setting. If you've got a situation that's a controversial situation, you can't put it to rest. So you say, all right, fine. The legal court will figure out what's going to happen here. We're going to trust that God will work through them to make the judicial decision. And so we're going to appeal to the legal court. But regardless of what that court decides, even if that court decides in your favor, if you're dealing with a fool, they're not going to see it. They just won't get it. I mean, the bulb isn't going to go on there because you're dealing with a foolish person. Now, that brings us to the fourth reaction area. Wisdom or folly may be evidenced by one's reaction toward the upright. Verse 10, men of bloodshed hate the blameless, but the upright are concerned for his life. Now, that word bloodshed is a word that describes a person who literally kills people physically. this could be taken literally to those that literally would shed the blood of somebody. It could certainly be applied spiritually to those who spiritually destroy people. But what is being said here is one who will kill others is one who will hate one who is upright. But one who's wise is one who wants to do everything he can to protect one who's upright. One who's wise is drawn to the life of one who stands for what's right. Whereas the fool, all he wants to do is get rid of the one that's upright. He wants to get rid of the one that's heralding the truth. He wants to get rid of the one that's righteous. He doesn't want anything to do with him. And of course, at this particular time in this culture, that literally meant you could kill him. Charles Bridges gave some great biblical examples of this. He said, Saul sought to murder David. Jonathan covered him. Jezebel was thirsting to destroy the prophets of the Lord, and Obadiah hid them in caves. Herod was proceeding against Peter's life, and the church rallied around him in prayer. The bloodthirsty Jews bound themselves together to try to murder Paul, and Aquila and Priscilla took him in and laid their own necks on the line to try to protect him. Those are great examples of wise people. They saw that there was a righteous person who was being the target of unjust attack. And therefore, they wanted to spare the life of the righteous person. And that's exactly what's being said here. Fools, they don't care if they shed their blood and kill them. But wise people, they're interested in protecting one who's righteous. And that's the mark of wisdom. That brings us to the fifth reaction. Wisdom or folly will be evidenced by one's reaction to stormy situations. Verse 11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Now here's a great statement of wisdom. We've seen this time and time again come up in Proverbs. That verb holds back is a Hebrew word that means you quiet down the storm. And by using this word, it would seem to me what these wise men of Hezekiah are describing is you got a stormy situation. You have a situation that's facing you that's heated, it's a controversy, it's debated, it's stormy. Now you'll notice how people react. A fool is one who will immediately explode and will certainly gush forth what little he has in his brain. He'll just open his mouth and he'll let it fly. On the other hand, notice the wise man holds it back. The wise person is the controlled person. The wise person may face the same hot situation, but he backs away. At least he tries to. He tries to get away from the heat of it. He's not quick to open his mouth. He wants to pray. He wants to think. He ultimately wants to think things through and make decisions. That's the mark of wisdom. He keeps his mind working. He keeps his mouth shut. On the other hand, the fool keeps the mouth working, doesn't use the mind. So this is a description here of one who's wise versus one who's a fool. Fools are verbally explosive. A ranting, raging fool is somebody that will just pop off and say anything to anybody. You know, there are people that will open their mouths and they'll tell anything to strangers. That's stupid. It's crazy. But that's exactly what some people do. They don't have the sense about them to say, you know, maybe I shouldn't be telling this to this person. I mean, this person might not be the most trustworthy person to be talking to here. But there are some people, they'll just, whatever it is, whatever's on their emotions, they're going to open their mouths and they're going to let it fly. That's not the mark of wisdom. The mark of wisdom is to be very careful, very controlled, very thoughtful before we speak. The wise people are slow to respond when things get hot. Now, it's just a shame. And this, by the way, is a great counseling tool in any relationship, whether it be in a relationship in society, in the company, in a home, whatever the relationship. This is a great one. A fool always loses temper, but the wise person won't. A wise person will hold it back. So you see, you may get in a situation and you may have nothing to do with in finding yourself in the middle of the situation. You may not even want to be in the situation. But your wisdom or folly will be determined by how you react to that situation. You've got a fool that's just exploding verbally and saying whatever they want. On the other hand, the wise person backs away, refuses to be drawn in, refuses to get lured in, backs away from it, isn't quick to respond. That's the mark of wisdom, and that's exactly what the men of Hezekiah wanted. There's an old proverbial teaching that says, if you don't learn to control your temper will control you. And that's a pretty powerful statement. During hostile situations, a wise person will remain controlled and not go out of control. And I like what one person observed. I don't remember who the commentator was, but it was one of the old great commentators that wrote on Proverbs. He said, in all my years, I've never seen a ranting, raging fool to have the final say in anything. They may have their brief, shining moment in the heat of the moment, but they never end up having the final say in anything. He said, it's always the wise person that ends up on top every single time. And I think there's a lot of wisdom to be said for that teaching. It certainly comes from here. A fool will speak his mind no matter what. Now, even the secular world recognizes the value of being a person who listens and thinks. I mean, you don't have to be a brilliant theologian to understand this. In his college text on writing, Charles Bazerman, who was a secular writer, said, the best way to get a feel for any conversation, oral or written, is to listen in for a while before you make your own comments. Before you start popping off, listen. Think it through. That's the mark of wisdom. And that certainly is what's being said here. Now that brings us to the sixth reaction. Wisdom or folly will be evidenced by a society's reaction to truth or to lies. Verse 12 says, if a ruler pays attention to falsehood, all his ministers become wicked. Boy, this is such a powerful proverb right here. It's one that's needed in every nation, every church, every home, every business. In a wise society, honesty reigns. And in a foolish society, dishonesty is king. And when you have a liar, a ruler, who buys into lies at the helm, you're going to produce a society, and I don't care what it is, if it's a country or a church or a school or a state, whatever it is, you're going to produce an organization that is a wicked organization that's not truthful, it's not honest, it's evil. I had a chance to talk with, this is an amazing story to me. I had a chance to talk with Emily, my niece, who flew yesterday to go back to Pakistan to work for Franklin Graham and the Samaritan Purse thing for another 5 months. And while I was talking with her the night before last on the phone, she said, I found something interesting. She said, when we would get way up in the mountains, he said, these people don't even know how to read. These Arabs that live up there, they don't know. He said, they don't have access to news. They don't know what's going on in the world. But she said, and I found an amazing thing. They hate Israel. They hate Israel. And that's a demonic force that's at work there in hating Israel. So Rob, her husband, had a chance to talk with an educated. Now this is an educated Arab in Pakistan, and he said, "Who do you think's responsible for what happened with the Twin Towers in New York City?" And they said, "The Jews." And he said, "What are you talking about, the Jews?" He said, "Yes." This Arab says to him, "Why do you think that day 4,000 Jews didn't go to work?" And he said, you're lying. You're lying. That isn't true. He said, it isn't the Jews. It's the Arabs that did it. It was the Taliban that did it. It was your evil group that did it. It wasn't the Jews that did it. It wasn't Israel that did it. But you want to know why they bought into this? Because you have wicked leaders. You have wicked leaders who are lying to the people. They're propagating those lies. The people are believing those lies. And you end up with a nation that is absolutely wicked, because we know what the scripture says. If you hate Israel, you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And that's exactly where this nation is, because she has wicked leadership. There's no honesty there. They're not dealing with truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical principle of a righteous leadership. And this was something these men of Hezekiah wanted, because in that 200 to 250 year span of time between Solomon and Hezekiah, there was a lot of dishonest stuff that went down. And so these men are saying, look, you have to be a kingdom that's after truth and righteousness, not one that's after deceit and lies, because if you're after that, ultimately that produces a wicked kingdom, and you don't want that. You want a righteous kingdom, because that's the kind of kingdom God blesses. So that's why these wise men are setting forth this principle. You have to be a truth setter, one that doesn't purport lies or spread lies. You're after facts and truth. Which brings us to the seventh reaction. God's wisdom or folly will be evidenced by a person's recognition of God's sovereignty over all people. Verse 13, the poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Now the oppressor in this verse is the one who the one who has the upper hand over the poor person. And the poor person, this is the dalim, which is the very feeble, the very weak, lean type of person. And so what these writers are saying here is this poor person and the oppressor, the rich person, God made them both. And in a wise society, wise people understand that. Nobody's better than another. It's like James says, everybody's equal in the family of God. They all come in now. God may give them various stations in life. He may entrust one person with a lot, one person with a little. That's God's business. But in a wise society, nobody gets looked down on or is thought less of because they don't have what somebody else has, or vice versa. In other words, in a wise society, people realize God is sovereign. He gives different stations in life. He gives different rank structures. He gives different gifts and abilities. He gives different talents. He gives different financial levels. But He's the sovereign God who does that. And wise people realize this, they acknowledge this, and then they live in a society harmoniously with one another in view of that. Which brings us to the final point. Wisdom or folly will be evidenced by the treatment of the poor. Verse 14, he comes back to that theme. If a king judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. Again, truth. Go after truth. Don't show partiality. In a wise society, everybody's wanted. Everybody's welcomed. Everybody's appreciated. Everybody has value. Everybody's esteemed. It's in a wise society, there is nobody is swept under the carpet. In a wise society, they try to look out for the needs of those that have real need. They try not to neglect the needs of the poor people. That's a wise society. Now, these men of Hezekiah wanted the blessings of God. And certainly, they knew that in order to get those blessings, a lot of that was determined by how we react to each other. How people relate to each other. And so in this section, these men say, you can tell whether you're wise or foolish by how you react to one another in these various situations of life. Any questions or comments about this section tonight?